I think it is also important to look at the background of MONUSCO and why it came to the DRC in the first place. This is the United Nations mission which started its operation in the DRC in 1999 under the auspices of the United Nations in relation to what had happened in the country at the time, trying to destabilize, the country after the emergence of various rebel groups in the country. You remember a war that had drawn more than seven African countries to fight in the under different rebel umbrellas, as well as those who were fighting on the government, especially those who were fighting on part of the then president Laurent Kabila. So this is where it starts from. And then one would think that the situation could have improved when MONUSCO got into the. But unfortunately, when the discussions happened in the DRC under SADC, you remember the Sun City 1, Sun City 2, the Pretoria Accord, as well as the Lusaka Accord, that culminated to the election in the DRC. And in my knowledge, this is where MONUSCO should have withdrawn based on the calendar that they had at the time. But the mandate of that particular organization kept being extended and changing based on the situation that was prevailing in the country. And it seems the people of the DRC have had enough of it, saying that, look, the insecurity in the country is persisting. There is no improvement at all. Lives are being lost under the noise of the MONUSCO. And moreover, MONUSCO itself has faced several accusations from the local population, including civil society organizations within the DRC, saying that it has formed part of the problem in a sense that some of these rogue commanders within MONUSCO have been dealing with rebels to supply them with ammunition, necessary logistical support, albeit clandestinely without necessarily the UN knowing about it. And these are reports that we receive from day-to-day basis from the local population. Taking case upon the M23, where it was said that it has been the MONUSCO has been conniving with some of the rebel commanders to support the M23 in that sense. So these are issues that have come to the fore where the population say, no, we can't be being massacred under the presence of 21,000 UN soldiers who came to protect us, but they virtually doing nothing. The other aspect, though, is for the MONUSCO itself to start reevaluating itself, whether the operation that has undertaken for the past 22 years in the DRC has been successful, what are its failures, and how can it improve on their actions. But what is interesting, though, is even itself, as the UN peacekeeping mission, participating in the killing of civilians who are voicing a genuine concern. 36 lives of Congolese citizens lost in the past week during the protest against the very same UN. You'd recall the incident on Sunday where UN peacekeeping force violated actually the territorial integrity of the DRC, the sovereignty of the DRC, forcing itself under the through the border of Kasindi, which is a border between Uganda and the DRC, and killing 3 civilians on spot, injuring fatally 15 others. So the question is, why should MONUSCO remain in the country under those circumstances?
Professor, let me bring you into the conversation here. When MINUSCO was deployed to the DRC, it was to fight rebels, to shield civilians against militants that had caused massive destruction in the country for decades. And now these very same civilians, as Nixon also said, are accusing MINUSCO of failing in this exact mission. Would you say that the UN peacekeeping mission has failed in the DRC, or at least why does it seem that way to the people of the DRC?
Yes, very good question. I think we should go back to the origin of the crisis. You know, the DRC Congo, we have two Congos, Congo Brazzaville and Congo Kinshasa. Can you imagine? The Congo Kinshasa side, the Belgians were ruling it before. The Congo Brazzaville, France was ruling it before. Now, and the DRC Congo is the richest African country. They have resources, cobalt, coltan. What don't they have? 24 trillion. That's the combined gross national product of all of Europe and America. Franz Fanon used to call the DRC Congo the heart of Africa. They also have the second largest hydroelectric power. And what don't they have? When you have too much resources, like the DRC Congo, then external actors engage. There was a competition between the Soviet Union and America before, until Mobutu Sese came. Before that, Lumumba was, Patrice Lumumba was killed. You see, when you see it, you see the crisis has not stopped. And so many things are happening. People are starving, food crisis, many things like that are happening. Now, when these forces intervene, external forces, are they really genuinely intervening to help the DRC Congo, or do they have their own agenda? My worry, sincerely speaking to you, is that we in Africa should be the ones, if we have problems, we should be the ones who should be using our restorative justice, rehabilitative justice, and really our own values to try to solve our own problems. Why do we outsource it, externalize it? When we do that, what then happens is that these forces also intervene in such a way that inside, in our own divisions, the divide and rule, all that is also accelerated, and then the conflict continues. I think my own suggestion, to be honest with you, is that the African Union should be very actively engaged in finding out, whenever conflicts like this happen, how we as Africans should solve it. That's what we should be doing, not really get the United Nations and so on. I mean, can you imagine? This is not going to be resolved. It's going to continue, and more conflicts are going to happen, because the conflicts are not just internal, but also external actors are in it. And it is related also to the rich resources that the DRC Congo has. That's my really suggestion. I don't expect, generally speaking, that all these external engagements will resolve the difficulties. We need to find solutions inside. And at the same time, we as Africans need to now to learn not to get always to outsource our difficulties and our problems, but for others to come in and add more problems. But we should try to find solutions ourselves, African solutions to African problems. That's my suggestion.
We're unpacking the calls for MINUSCO to exit the DRC after the violence that we've seen there in the past few days. That's Pan-African scholar Professor Mamo Munchi calling for African solutions to African problems. We also have colleague and analyst on African politics, Nixon Katembo. Now, last week, after UN peacekeepers opened fire on protesters in Kasindi on the border of the DRC with Uganda, we saw UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres speaking out and apologizing to President Felix Tshisekedi, also conveying his condolences there and apologizing for Sunday's incident. Here's a clip of Guterres' spokesperson, Stefan Dujarric.
The Secretary General spoke to President Felix Tshisekedi of the DRC. In the conversation, the Secretary General conveyed his condolences and also apologized for yesterday's incident, which involved UN peacekeepers and took place in Kasindi on the border of the DRC and Uganda. The Secretary General said that the United Nations is totally committed to peace and to coordinating with Congolese armed forces and working with the FARDC to solve the situation and bring about stability in the eastern DRC. Effective dialogue is needed, he said. And for that to happen, we demand the unconditional withdrawal of the M23 group and call on all armed groups to cease all forms of violence. The Secretary General expressed his outrage following the incident that I just referred to. He also stressed in the strongest terms the need to establish accountability for those events and welcomed the decision by the special representative, his special representative in the DRC, Bintou Keita, to detain the mission personnel involved in the incident and to immediately open an investigation.
Professor Munchi, what do you make of this apology?
Well, I mean, the United Nations mission said they want to remove foreign mercenaries in the DRC Congo. And they also said that they want to prevent any civil war in the country as much as they can by making that all the foreign divisions, foreign impact can also, but this is a statement, it's a declaration. But in terms of action, I'm not sure, to be honest with you, how much we can trust that serious action will be taken to make sure that they will prevent or they'll remove the mercenaries or that are acting there and creating conflicts, and at the same time also and any civil war that could take place. With the civil war, as you know, is related, as I mentioned to you, with external actors also engaged in it. So because of this situation, I think my worry is that if the United Nations really can act with, hopefully, the African Union also together, and also with the government of the DRC Congo, if all the forces are acting very strongly together, then with unity, then it's possible maybe to control the current conflict. But if they say it, and if it's real action is not generated from the statements and the declarations, we should be careful. That's my worry and my concern. So I'm not sure yet about this. Yes.
Now, on Monday, the government issued a statement saying it would reevaluate the withdrawal plan of the United Nations peacekeeping mission due to the deadly anti-UN protests that we're currently seeing in the DRC. Nixon, what do you think this decision would mean for the DRC and its relationship with the US?
I think the relationship between the DRC and the UN has already got diplomatically in tatters. Because what we saw is during the protest, the Congolese government soldiers actually being on a part of the civilians, including the police, while the UN was firing on the innocent civilians. And that brings a question to say that there seems to be a total kind of distrust between the Congolese government and the United Nations peacekeeping mission, the DRC. You would recall in the later part of President Joseph Kabila, in his last speech at the UN, he said that the UN must now leave the country because they have overstayed their missions. They are not doing anything. And this is what actually the sentiment that is expressed across the Congolese population. And if you want do a kind of a discourse analysis of the statement issued by the government through the government communication person, Patrick Muyaya, you would see that there is a direct call, although subtle in the statement, but there is a direct call from the UN to leave out of the DRC. But the question remains, why are we here now? It's because of inaction of the United Nations in fulfilling its mandate. Of course, there are several other aspects in which the Congolese government is penalized in the sense that it is not allowed to build state institutions, especially with the security sector reform under high proliferation of arms. And the other aspect, though, is the control of even arms trafficking, arms circulation within the DRC, with the UN having its own chain of command, which is, does not fall under the under the Congolese armed forces. Obviously, those accusations that have been coming from the population that the UN is arming also a rebel group find expression in that lack of unified chain of command. So it is those problems that are causing serious relationship and the friction between the United Nations, the local populations, including the Congolese government. And I think going forward, it's up now for the Congolese government to take charge and assume full responsibility in securing the borders, in securing the local populations. There is no way a solution to the DRC problem will be brought from outside. It's up for the Congolese themselves to see how they are going to solve the problem that have been facing them. But they cannot solve that while expecting from another hand, in this case, which is the United Nations. And we know for the fact they have been accused of several other issues, including mineral trafficking, because they have no control whatsoever. Imagine a UN forces just rocking up the border between South Africa and Zimbabwe, Mosina, and just force itself into South Africa. This is the case here. And we have to look into retrospect, as Professor Mamomuchi said. Let us look at the history of the Congo. The UN has been there since the 1960s. And you remember the UN supported the Katangis secessionist at the time, saying that we need to protect this, their genuine demand. And the fear, though, at the current disjuncture, and those who are in Eastern DRC, they think that this is a ploy by the United Nations to allow the population to kind of get tired of the central government, to create a disconnect between different provinces of the DRC, and therefore launch a referendum for an independent state in the east, as it has been among some of the quarters, that maybe there should be a creation of a buffer country between Congolese eastern neighbors and the rest of the Congo. And this cannot be allowed. The one thing that I know for sure among the Congolese population, and which is unite them, is around the common identity, around the idea of citizenship, around the idea of nationhood. And this has been a uniting force. So whenever you bring out something that divided the Congolese population along those lines, and the creation, they call it balkanization, then you are bound to unite the Congolese people. And then I think through this protest, this is what is coming up.
All right, let's go to a quick break. Of course, you are invited to join the conversation. We're at Twitter at Channel Africa One or on Facebook at Channel Africa. We'll continue with both our guests after this. We're talking about calls for MINUSCO to exit the DRC after the days of fighting that we have seen in that country with the anti-UN protests. My guests are on the line today, Nixon as well as Professor Munchi. Professor, let me come back to you in your closing remarks. Let's just focus a bit on restoring peace to the DRC. Do you think that this could ever be reached? And do you believe that the withdrawal of the peacekeeping mission would be the solution to ending the violence?
Yeah, good question. I think from this crisis that the Congo has been facing from the 1960s, it hasn't, since it became political independence. Really, was that really independence, real independence? As Kwame Nkrumah said, what happened in Africa is that when the decolonization happened, what came is neocolonialism. So what really happened is the conflict continued based on what did they do? The former colonial powers that used to control the resources of the DRC Congo and all other parts of Africa, what they did was they used the ethnic, the tribal divisions, Tutsi, Hutu, these kind of divisions. And we have them, we have also in the DRC Congo, Tutsis, Hutus, and so on. And then you can see the conflict also in the eastern part of the Congo. All these things are happening. And then what happens? We have conflicts among us. The key question now we need to, all of us really need to say is, we must get out of this. There must be a total paradigm shift, a mindset shift. We must be game changers and change makers to make sure that from this crisis, we bring solution. How could we do that is the most important thing. It has been continuing for many years, all right? Look, from 1960, almost how many years? Almost over 60 years, this has been happening. This conflict has been continuing. And resources have been really, the DRC Congo has been losing its resources. Mm-hmm. And then everyone is suffering. Now, how do we come out of this is the key question. To come out of it, it's not just peacekeeping forces leaving and coming. And as I mentioned to you, that we cannot even trust them very, very well what they do. They get also engaged in different parts. So what we need now is an approach how to find genuinely a total decolonization where all of us can come together. There should be some unity. Not fighting, for example, not supporting Uganda, Rwanda, and the DRC Congo, divisions within in different, all these things should not be happening. There should be unity. Why is this not happening? Why is there no leadership quality, governance quality, institution quality, system quality to be set up so that really the DRC Congo, of all places in Africa, the heart of Africa, with all these resources it has, imagine the resources DRC has. If we know how to care and share, that entire resource will make all of us, no African to be poor. No African, we could create zero poverty, zero unemployment. Can you imagine? All right? Even we could even reduce inequalities. And we have everything. What don't they have? It's a rich, rich place, completely. And this rich wealth, those that want to take advantage, make us fight each other, kill each other, and starve. How can anyone starve? Food insecurity exists in the DRC Congo. It's incredible. So I think my suggestion, my strong suggestion, genuinely, is for all Africans now, not to say this is just happening in the DRC Congo. Let's say it must stop. There must be no war, no civil war, all right? No foreign intervention. Let's try to find a solution. And let's also use our own Ubuntu, our own traditional values, our own philosophy, rich values. You are me, I'm you. That we have philosophies like this, which will save the world, which will create no war whatsoever in Africa. We have values like that. Let's go for that. And let my great suggestion is, let's learn how to get out of it. That would be the best lesson we could draw from this conflict. We say we have this conflict, let's come to a solution. That's my suggestion. Thank you very much.
All right, Professor. And closing remarks from you, Nixon, in your views, if the DRC cancels this mission from the country, what other options are available for the government to fight militants and bring peace to the country?
Look, one of the things that I have been talking about most of the time is the issue of security sector reform within the DRC. but also allow the DRC to strengthen its institutions. A part of that is the lifting of the arms embargo on the DRC, because currently the United Nations imposed an arms embargo on the DRC. In other words, cannot purchase or any arms to confront the rebel forces without the UN approving such a kind of arms sale. Now, this is a rich country with all resources. It can train soldiers to fight towards that effect. And in fact, that the DRC is ranked to be one of the biggest army in terms of defense ranking. I think it's the 10th in Africa, if I'm not mistaken, if you're not the 3rd in Africa. So once fail to understand why this stumbling block, such as the arms embargo, different machinations that emanate from the UN so-called international based order,